so tall. Like their towers, they sometimes fall. Some other said, take 75 cents for the homeless man. And mother says, take 75 cents for the homeless man. And it's hard for me to understand why there's a homeless man.
Hi. This is Mariko May. I'm really glad you're enjoying BBSRadio.com. I would like to invite you to my personal website at www.maricome.com.
I think I love you. I think I'm sure. I think you let it.
Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Higher Dimension. I'm your hostess, Phyllis Pricer, and I want to warmly welcome you all to our show. We have a beautiful and wonderful gifted psychic and astrologer, a clairvoyant, I should say, and astrologer this evening, Judith Aurora Ryan of Bayonne, New Jersey. Welcome, Judith.
Oh, thank you, Phyllis.
Let me give a little bit of background to the good folks there. Judith has been known. She's been gifted ever since she was a little child. She could read people and events. And I think you have a grandmother who was also gifted that way.
My mother's mother was.
Yes, and you were nurtured, and you were taken seriously and encouraged to follow this. And that she's had a lot of training along the 30 years that she's been working. She studied under Charles James and his wife, Vivia James. And she's also does feng shui, which is, I think, a wonderful, wonderful gift, something I don't understand very much. And you also had studied with a legendary astrologer, Al H. Morrison.
That's
and you have some, and you've traveled. You're a well-traveled woman, and
I'm Sagittarius, so I just like to take off.
You just pack your bags and head for the road, right?
Yeah, because I started studying astrology really when I was like in my, I'd say my mid to late teens. Not to become an astrologer, I just wanted to understand myself. And
uh-huh.
I went to college and did quite all the normal things.
Uh-huh.
But my true mentor was Charles Jane, and he was. Really, I would say, out of the last century, even Charles is dead now, he was one of the top five astrologers.
Wow.
And Charles, you know, was always encouraging me to do astrology full time, and I just looked at him, and I said very defiantly one day in his living room, Well, I like to travel. Yeah, if I work in an office.
I
get vacation. I get paid. He looks at me and says, Judith, you'll be able to travel.
Uh-huh. Oh, that is so wonderful. That is so wonderful. And I have always wanted, I'm an armchair traveler. I haven't had the opportunity to travel. So what I've done now is people come to me. And I live in Washington, of course, so people come to see me. And I've met people from all over the world, either in my office or just being around D.C. So I've traveled, but in a different way. And then I watch the History Channel and the Travel Channel, so I do get to go there. And I read books. I travel first in books, so it's lovely. At any rate, my dear, my fans do know that usually what I do is just talk and ask questions and just sort of let yourself come out and share with our audience anything that you want to. Remember that we do have the live show, so let me give you the phone number to the people. It's 1-877-876-5227. And if you're in the USA, that's the call-in number. We do have some other phone numbers, but I'm not sure if I should give them out just yet. I have to get permission, I guess, because they're newly added phone lines. But if anybody wants, to ask questions of Judith or ask if she could give you a real quick guideline on something, please feel free to call in and talk. And if you want to just share, it's also great because this is what we do here. So what would you like to talk about this evening, Judith? Is there anything in mind that you wish to chat about at this point?
Well, do you want me to talk about some things that are going on astrologically now?
Sure. We can do that.
Okay, well, Venus, is the planet of love and also the planet of money, because they do tend to go hand in hand sometimes.
Okay. Could you speak up just a little bit? I have a hard time hearing you.
Oh, Venus, can you hear me better?
Yeah, better. Thank you.
Okay. Venus went retrograde on July 27th.
Uh-huh.
And it'll be retrograde until September 8th.
Okay.
And whenever Venus goes retrograde, when the planets go retrograde, first of all, I don't want to get too technical for the audience, but astrology is based on our view from Earth to the planets.
Uh-huh.
So it's basically an optical illusion.
Right.
You know, if you viewed it from the sun, they would all be going around correct, because sometimes when people hear or read things like retrograde,
uh-huh,
then they say, oh, astrology is all nuts because the planets don't go backwards.
Uh-huh.
But Venus does not go retrograde every year. It did go retrograde, and that's one of the reasons why, you know, the stock market went down.
Ah.
And it, usually 4 days prior to it going retrograde, there's a big change where interest rates are concerned.
Uh-huh.
They either go up or down, but, you know, they change whatever direction they were going in.
Uh-huh.
But on a more personal level, too, Venus is a planet, as I said, it has to do with love.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's not a good time right now to get married under a retrograde Venus.
Right.
Because when somebody gets married, what you do is you do a chart for the exact time, date, and place, you know, mm-hmm, that they said I do. So it's not the most auspicious aspect to have, number one.
Okay.
And what it can do to people on a personal level, a lot of times someone will meet somebody under a retrograde Venus. And, you know, they have stars in their eyes, but as soon as Venus goes direct, then it's, you know, that's the end of the relationship. So it's not really a good time, in other words, right now to be starting something new with somebody.
Right.
You know, it can bring somebody from your past back into your life.
Uh-huh.
So that's very positive if it's somebody from your past you want back in.
Right. Depending on the person now.
Right.
There are a few people from my past I just don't, you know, God bless them, hail, farewell, see you in heaven, bye.
Yeah, that's true for everybody. But it could be, you know, like a high school sweetheart or,
right,
you know, something like that.
That would be nice. I mean, it'd be nice just to say hello.
Yeah, yeah, or something that just didn't, you know, work out at the time because of circumstances or situations.
Well, that makes sense.
But it can bring somebody from your past back into your life, and it can be a time, too, that, you know, you can hear from, you know, friends or loved ones from your past. It doesn't have to be, you know, a lover,
yeah,
necessarily from the past.
Well, that sounds good. So we can look to have maybe friends, old friends or relations pop into our life or meet them unexpectedly. I think that's beautiful.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, it's a time that people tend to review things of value that they have in their life, too.
Okay, such as, for example?
Maybe, you know, the way you were decorating or colors that you wore before. You know, you know, maybe you go to an image consultant now, you know, and go over the way you've been, you know, adorning yourself, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sort of like tweak it at this time. That can be very good, too.
Okay. Well, maybe that explains why I've gone on a cleaning jag this last week or so. I mean, I kept thinking, is there spring in the air that I'm doing this kind of cleaning? You know?
Right, yeah, that's true. Well, Venus, you know, does have to do with love and beauty, so you're trying to make your place more beautiful now.
Oh, okay. Well, that'll make sense. All right. Because I'll tell you something. It's cleaning, scrubbing windows, doors, you know, going out. It's not my usual thing. Not that I live in a pig pen, but cleaning is not my favorite pastime, believe me.
Yeah, but it's very good feng shui, Phyllis.
It is?
Oh, yes, yes.
Cleaning is great feng shui?
Yeah, well, in feng shui, you know, one of the cardinal sins is clutter, number one.
Uh-huh.
And number two, you know, cleanliness is next to godliness in feng shui. You want the qi, the energy, to be able to flow correctly.
Okay.
And if you have a lot of dust bunnies in the way, that can make it difficult.
Oh, okay. Well, it's been my habit in the past. I don't know if it holds true now, but when I start getting this kind of a urge to clean,
mm-hmm,
usually it's because unexpected company is coming or something is going to be changing in my life that will cause me to have a lot of activity. So it's sort of like I'm getting my house in order to do stuff. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's very positive.
Okay.
A lot of times if people feel that things are stagnant around them, one of the best things they can do is just clean.
Mm-hmm.
Because then it starts to move the energy around you.
Okay. I think we have somebody who's called in. Welcome to the higher dimension.
Phyllis.
Hello.
Hi, Phyllis. Can you hear me?
Yes. Who's this?
This is Drew in Connecticut, and welcome, Stephanie. I am a real estate agent, so hearing this insight about Venus in retrograde sums up a lot of things now.
Uh-huh.
What's happening with all the buyers and sellers out there sort of stuck on their pricing as well as wanting to purchase. But I wanted to change the subject a little bit only because a lot has been happening in Wiltshire, UK, regarding the crop circles and a projection for something happening on August 18th. And I'm wondering if that's a phenomenon that you know about or have any insight on.
I'm sorry, I didn't get the last part of it.
Yes, the crop circles that have recently appeared in August, or they've been appearing for years, but there's a recent one in Wiltshire of the UK that's predicting something to occur with Venus and the moon, the lunar cycle on August 18th.
Well, August 28th we have an eclipse. So
August 28th, you say?
Yeah, August 28th there's going to be an eclipse. So.
Well. Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe, I'm not really, I'm familiar with crop circles, I've never seen one personally, you know.
Right. What do you think they represent? Do you think that they're part of the Earth consciousness, or do you think they're from a higher dimension, or do you think they're basically man-made?
Well, in all honesty, some of them they have found have been man-made.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, that's the bottom line with it. You always find people that will do things like that. The one that I've seen, you know, documentaries on and I've gone to lectures on, personally, and this is my own feeling, I really think they have to do more with interdimensional
I agree.
You know, as opposed to people coming from other planets, I think it's, you know, there's so much that's been coming out recently, you know, where physics is concerned. And even physics, you know, scientists now are saying that, you know, the string theory, if you read up on that, I'm not a physicist, okay, but if you read up on that, they're even saying now that to prove certain, you know, mathematical equations and things, there has to be other dimensions.
Right. Well, a lot of the...
I really think that they're trying to reach out to us for whatever reason. Maybe they have been doing this in different ways for thousands of years, and we just weren't really aware of it.
So you believe, or it's you, your belief or your feeling is that it's interdimensional rather than from outer space. Is that what you're saying?
Right, right.
Okay. Is there a difference?
Well, definitely, because, you know, outer space, that would be beings coming here from, you know, another planet. But interdimensionals, I really think it's, you know, that... There's another dimension, other dimensions, and they've learned how to, you know, come in and out.
Yeah.
I think they've really been helping us for, you know, maybe for tens of thousands of years.
Okay, well, I believe in both out of space, but I kind of always kind of lumped them together. I did not consider there might be a finer distinction between the two, because I figured if you were from outer space, you were also interdimensional. I mean, that just kind of... And what you're saying is perhaps I am not perceiving that properly or correctly, or there's more to it.
Well, it's a strong possibility that, you know, I don't think necessarily the crop circles, but I do believe that we have been contacted, you know, throughout many, many years from people from other planets.
Uh-huh.
But I still think that, you know, the interdimensionals are something separate.
Okay. Well, one does not rule out the other, is what you're saying.
Right, right, definitely.
Okay. Does that, and I'm thinking what he was asking was, do the stars show, or does astrology show, that a significant event will occur on or about the 18th of August because of the crop circle?
Well, I can't answer that, Phil, because
okay.
I'm not an expert on the crop circles.
Can I ask another question of Stephanie as well? Do we have
Her name is Judith.
Oh, Judith, I apologize.
Okay.
Wrong side.
Go ahead, yes.
New Jersey. Quick question, though, is when you get your psychic readings, do you consult what I understand is referred to as the Akashic Records, or do you use astrology, or is it just your intuition? And do you do a mini reading based on birth date? Because this is the first time I've talked with you.
Oh, well, you know, I do, you know, clairvoyant readings for people. That's separate from the astrology. Because astrology is all math-based. I mean, you can be an astrologer and not be a psychic, but you can't be a psychic and think that you're automatically going to be an astrologer. I mean, it's years of study with the math.
Right.
If I do, you know, let's say psychic or clairvoyant readings for people, if they're not in my home for me to do a reading for, I have a lot of clients that live out of state or even out of the country, I have to have a photo of them. I have to have something to key into where I can see their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So now, do you know about the Akashic Records? I mean, how does that play in your understanding of the psychic world?
Well, to be honest with you, I don't know where I go. I just try to tune into my higher self.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much, Judith and Phyllis.
Thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And, okay. We certainly do, you know, encourage to call in and ask questions. I think that's very interesting. As I said, I had not known about the issue of the difference between interdimensional and from out of space. And I guess that makes sense. I've never really gone into a lot of deep studying, so I guess I was just, you know, using my own noggin power, so to speak, to figure things out. But,
well, if you read up on physics, I mean, I started doing that this summer. I mean, half the stuff in the book, more than half, I couldn't understand. But sometimes you have to stretch yourself mentally.
Oh, sure.
You know, to me it seems like it's almost impossible for people to travel through space. In a spaceship, you know, the vast amounts of distances that they would have to go, even if they had higher technology.
Right.
Maybe they were, you know, traveling, you know, through dimensions.
Here.
So, but I still think that there's something, besides another planet, I still feel it's something with people from other dimensions.
Well, you know, I agree with you on that. I have, you know, have you had direct experience in your life where you've had visitors from other worlds?
No.
Or other dimensions? Go ahead.
No, I mean, I've had, you know, experiences with things with, you know, with spirits.
Right.
Or things, you know, with angels or mystical experiences. But say like a different dimensional being, or someone from another planet. No, I haven't personally. But many years ago, I went to this group that was in southern Jersey or Pennsylvania.
Uh-huh.
Good friend Doris, she was a healer. I went with her. She's dead now. But we went to that, and I was so impressed because it was a group of people, I guess there were about 30 of them, from that area that, you know, said that they experienced, you know, being, you know, either taken up or having direct experiences with beings from other planets.
Hmm.
And what this group would do is, if they heard of someone like that, they would take them as soon as they could to a psychiatrist, have them, know, analyzed.
To make sure they weren't Looney Tunes, gotcha.
Yes, yeah, definitely. And then have them hypnotized to try to document as much as they could. And quite honestly, Phyllis, I mean, I was sitting there, and there wasn't one person there that I wouldn't have felt comfortable inviting into my kitchen for a cup of tea.
That says a lot.
You know, I mean, they were regular people, like your neighbors or people that you would see, you know, in ShopRite or something like that. They were, none of the people I talked to there seemed, quote, crazy or like they were trying to prove something. You know, when they had the coffee break, I was talking to some of them there. They joined us because when they went through these experiences, it's so life-altering to them because their whole sense of reality is shaken up, and they never get that back again.
Yeah.
So to me, it was just, you know, I have tremendous, you know, respect for people that are doing research on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess now's not the time to go into it, but now you've raised something with your distinction because I've met people who have appeared and disappeared in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
I have clear recollections of seeing spaceships and going on them.
See?
But never, you know, and I've always said that, and, you know, now it's more expensive, so now $4 or $5 will buy a cup of coffee. You know, and for me, you know, what good is it unless I can do something with it? You know, just this idea I was beamed up Scotty does not make sense to me. You know, it seems to me that you should, it should have an importance. And, yeah, the few times I've had something of this nature happen, including in D.C., which is, of course, the alien capital of the world in some people's minds, just based on the politicians, dear. And I'm wondering if what I was seeing maybe were people interdimensional rather than from spaceships. So I'm going to just have to sit and go through that and find out what my truth is. But that's interesting because I had never even, you know, this has really kind of got my curiosity. But, yeah, I've had that experience and but I never talked about it much because most people, as you know, get a little bit strange. And I've met a number of people who are terrified But so far I haven't seen anything terrible about visiting with these people or having these experiences. I think they're all there to help us grow and learn.
Oh, definitely.
You know, and you can have fun with it. To me, it's not shock and awe at all. It's what can I use it for, and is it worthwhile pursuing? You know, and if it's not going to add to my life in any measurable way, and it's not going to create beauty and you know, bring about a greater understanding, then I kind of at a loss as to why I would want to continue on with something that does not have a practical, that's Capricorn in me, practical loving value, you know. at any rate, tell me some more about some of your great experiences, because I think they're just fabulous. How did you get to go to so many countries? Tell me, you know, did it just come through to you? I don't know how this happens.
It's just all determination. I mean, for years, you know, when I got out of college, I was working full-time, doing astrology full-time, doing readings full-time, everything full-time.
Uh-huh.
You know. Sagittarius, I've got Capricorn on the ascendant, so, you know, I try to be Wonder Woman with that. But, no, I would go out of the country at least twice a year. You know, I wanted to visit the first time I went to Switzerland, I was very interested because I took this one, like, day trip, and I went to this place, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, I think it's Eiffeldheim. And they had a black Madonna there, and it just fascinated me. I never saw anything
wow.
like that. Yeah, and then I started doing all these readings on the black Madonna.
Uh-huh.
And so then every time I would go on a trip, you know, especially like to Europe, because I would do that every year, you know, I'd have to go to all the sacred sites, you know.
Oh, really?
You know, and then I've been invited out of the country to lecture to different astrological groups.
Uh-huh.
And then for quite a few years. I mean, I haven't done it in a while because of circumstances, you know, taking care of my father, you know, when he was sick and dying. But for years I lectured on the cruise ship.
Oh, so, what a fun thing to do.
Yeah, so, I mean, that, you know, that way I was able to see Australia, the South Sea Islands, New Zealand. You know, I got to go more to the Mideast. So I've just always been determined. I mean, when I was in my early 20s, nobody went to Egypt then.
Oh.
And I told my parents when I was very small, we were in one of the museums in New York.
Uh-huh.
And we were in this one room where they had, you know, Egyptian paraphernalia. And I told my parents very seriously that they were not my parents and I was Egyptian. And I wanted to stay there with my people. Now, if I didn't have my grandmother...
And this was where?
In a museum in New York when I was...
In New York?
Yeah, yeah. I probably would have been shipped off to a psychiatrist. But,
yeah.
You know, so I was in my early 20s. I decided I was going to go to Egypt, and I did.
Oh, how wonderful.
You just make up your mind. And as I said, then I started lecturing on the cruise ships and... trips work out for me. A lot of times my clients will fly me somewhere to do feng shui for them. I mean, I can do that by blueprints and, you know, photos of the place. But a lot of times they just want to, you know, send me to their homes, you know, to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then a good friend of mine's a travel agent, so her husband doesn't like to travel. So
she gets
free tickets, you know, we'll just take off and go.
Oh, is that nice. Oh, well, things certainly worked out for you.
Well, you know, that's the one thing I have to do is travel. We all have the one thing that we're quite spoiled to death that we want, you know.
Well, I've always wanted to travel. It's been I've done very little of it in my life, but I've always wanted to travel and go to a lot of places, Egypt being one. Switzerland is another place. Let's put it this way. I'm not that fussy. There are a few places I don't want to go, mainly swamplands and things like that, you know, but basically that's the kind of thing I'd love to do, but, you know, just the, my life itself was not structured to allow that this time.
Yeah, and then, you know, I do the solar return shorts where... Yeah, every year you go away for your birthday. It's the technique of changing your chart for the year.
Uh-huh.
So, because of that, you know, I have my required trip every December anyway. I have no way around it.
Uh-huh.
One year, you know, I actually went to Iceland for my birthday. I've never sent anybody there, but I had to go there because I wanted the best chart.
Uh-huh.
Which wouldn't have been too bad, except my birthday's in December, and it's during before the solstice, so we had 5 hours and 25 minutes of sun every day.
Oh, good Lord.
I still got the chart that I wanted for the year. So, you know, it's just, you know, you just make up your mind that there's something that you want to accomplish. You just see it, and then you go towards it.
Yes, I guess perhaps maybe I didn't want to go as much as I thought, but boy, I sure wish I could go. If somebody offered me a trip, you know, I'd pack up, you know, and meet you at the front door. But, yeah, it's a wonderful thing. I admire you for knowing what you wanted to do. I think sometimes it's as though people can change what's in there, can change what is called for. That in the chart, because aren't the tendencies just that, tendencies that our free will can also impact the strength or the weakness of certain areas of one's
I mean, definitely. It's not even that you're trying to overcome something in the chart.
Right.
The chart has a lot of gifts and talents that people never, ever tap into.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always the way you utilize what you're given. And it's not just, well, this is the chart I have, I'm going to do this. It's also, you have to look at it in a sense about what are you going to give back to the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Too, but, I mean, this may sound very shocking to visitors, rather to listeners, but, I mean, you can look at Adolf Hitler's chart. It wasn't a bad chart.
No.
But the man was, look at the millions of people that he murdered. I mean,
yes.
But, you know, if you look at it in the sense that he had the ability to mesmerize
right.
millions of people and motivate them, if he didn't use that the way he did, he could have brought about a beautiful renaissance throughout
exactly.
Europe of growth.
Exactly. If he had chose light rather than the dark.
Right, so it's always the person's individual decision what they're going to do,
mm-hmm.
And how they're going to use it. I mean, if I do someone's chart, I mean, I can tell them, you know, these are good dates for you to purchase a home. These are the dates mm-hmm. to put your house up for sale. I'm just using this as an example. I can't force the individual to do that. It's up to them.
Right.
You know, you have times of, you know, where maybe you can concentrate on things with love. It's not really the time to be concentrating on developing business so much and the other
mm-hmm.
way around.
Okay.
It's really trying to just learn a balance with your energy.
Okay.
And then sometimes people need permission. I mean, I've had clients that wanted to make a change with career, but it's like they needed someone to tell them, yes, you can do this. It's in your chart.
Uh-huh.
So they just needed that boost. And,
yeah.
you know, if the chart gives you a blueprint, it tells you, you know, how to work around to accomplish the things that you want.
Mm-hmm. And so the chart is basically, is it a guideline? It's a general roadmap type of thing that one can use for one's life?
Well, I definitely see astrology as a roadmap.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
there's times of success and failure. I mean, like if anyone goes to my website that I have my astrology website, I'm not trying to put a plug in for it, but I have...
Go ahead and put a plug in. It's allowed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, go ahead. Sure.
I have the Void of Course Moon calendar on that.
Uh-huh.
And the Void of Course Moon is something that Al Morrison, he's dead now. He was one of my mentors. This man spent over 40 years doing research on this. This is before computers.
Mm-hmm.
What Al did, he really essentially wanted to disprove astrology, and he wound up becoming an astrologer,
mm-hmm.
And one of the top of the last century. But anyway, what Al did is he did so much research on this to prove something that he found. The moon changes, I don't want to get too technical, but The moon goes through all 12 signs roughly every 27 and a third days. You know, like how the sun goes through all 12 signs once a year.
Okay, the moon goes into every sign every how many days?
27 and a third days.
Every 27 and a third day.
Yeah,
got it.
So,
okay.
Okay, so roughly every 2.5 days, the moon changes the sign that it's in.
Right.
So the moon rules the mass subconscious for the world.
Okay.
The moon is what you call void when it's not going to form an aspect to another planet. The aspects are angular relationships. So if you want to, the mass subconscious, the moon, is not touching anything. It's not connecting.
Right.
So the mass subconscious is not connected at this time.
Okay.
And this happens roughly every 2.5 days. The moon can be void for a couple minutes, a couple hours.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes it can be void for a whole day.
Okay.
And whenever the moon is void, it's like someone takes a stamp that says void and cancels things out. I mean, I had clients when we had the last real estate crash. When was that, like in the 1980s?
Yes.
They were selling property. Why? They would not show homes to their clients that they had, you know, when the moon was void. Because people don't like to buy under a void moon.
Okay.
You know, you can, if people do purchase something, they usually tend to return it.
Right.
It's a time of indecision. So why bother... Why waste a potential client at
right.
that time? But you can use it in, you know, with selling things. If, let's say you're single and you're going to go on a first date with somebody, because the first time you do something, that's the birth of it, and you can do a chart from it, no matter what it is.
Uh-huh.
Let's say the moon is going to be void at 8:30, and
right.
your wonderful is going to pick you up at 9, and the moon's going to be void until 9:30 at night.
Right.
I wouldn't have him pick me up until the moon stopped being void,
uh-huh.
or the relationship isn't going to work out. In fact, you may never even see him again.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, you shouldn't sign contracts, agreements under a void moon. But it's something that people aren't really aware of.
Right.
It happens so frequently. It's not like... When Mercury goes retrograde, more people are aware of that now. That happens roughly 3 times a year at 3-week spans.
I don't know. Every time I turn around, it seems Mercury is in retrograde. I don't care what time of year it is.
Well, you know, that poor planet. Everybody likes to blame Mercury retrograde.
Uh-huh.
You know, I know even Regis Philbin, you know, for years, and it goes retrograde. He'll, you know, used to talk about that on his show, you know. you know, more and more people know about that. But the void, of course, moon, as I said, I have that calendar with the exact times on it. I mean, let's say you wanted to apply for a job.
Yeah.
You wouldn't put the resume in the mail under a void, of course, moon, because that would be your birth of looking for the job.
Okay.
You would not go on a job interview under a void moon.
Okay.
You would not start a new job under a void moon if you wanted it to last.
Well, so right now you say it is a void moon?
Oh, no, otherwise I wouldn't be on your show right now.
Oh, okay.
I wouldn't do it under a void moon. But the next time the moon goes void, it'll be Saturday. I'll give you an example. Now, this is, you know, Eastern Daylight Time.
Right.
It'll be void from 8:21 in the morning to 12:13 in the afternoon.
Okay.
And then it goes void again, not until Monday at 9:34 at night. And then it stops being void 44 minutes after midnight on the 21st.
Okay.
So see, it's like in, out, in, out. A lot of times you can be asleep when the moon's void.
Right.
I don't really do anything that much with the stock market. I mean, I'm not a financial astrologer, but if you watch the market, it usually tends to get very erratic, too, you know, when the moon is void.
Okay.
But you can use it in creative ways. I mean, if... it's not a good time to take someone to court. Let's say, you know, you were suing somebody.
Okay.
You would be inclined to lose if they started the trial under a void moon. But if
okay.
somebody was going to take you to court and the moon was void,
yep.
that would cancel out their action, and that would be very beneficial for you.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So it's not necessarily bad. Right. I mean, I don't make any purchases under a void moon. I'll buy perishable vegetables at this point, and that's it.
Uh-huh.
Because you can buy something, and it's very tempting. I love my sales. But if you're in a store, and let's say you get this, you know, Armani dress or something, 75% off, that moon's void, maybe the first time you wear it, you're going to wind up getting a stain on it or something.
Oh, dear.
So it's not good for making purchases. Something always quirky happens to the things that you buy then.
I see. Well, isn't that interesting?
Yeah, I had one client that wanted to, I told him to fire his account, and the guy's really bad. And, you know, he told me, well, I can't do it now, the moon's going to go void. I said, well, that's a good time to, you know, to fire somebody or close the business.
Right.
It's final. But it's not a good time to, you know, to hire somebody new.
Right.
So, as I said, that's something that you can look up, regardless of what sun sign you are or time or date you're born. And it's Al, you know, really traveled the world lecturing at all these different astrology groups trying to promote this. And because of all the work that Al Morrison did, it's on most, but not all, astrology calendars.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to be careful when you look at the calendars because you have to make sure that the calendar is printed for your time zone.
Right.
Because some of them are printed for Central Time.
Right.
And in that case, unless you live in Central Time, you have to remember to add or subtract, you know, the hours.
Right.
But it's the most vital thing. I mean, you can have the best aspect in your chart, fellas. And if the moon's void for 5 minutes, that, you know, and you proceed at that time, it's just going to cancel it out.
Okay.
I mean, any man that ever accepted the presidential nomination under a void moon has never been elected president.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. And it's,
so, I'd like to get you know, talk to you more about that as the time comes close. I'd love to have you come back on, and we could go into something like this if you're prepared for it, you know.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And it's a lovely thing. Well, I gave you my birth date earlier.
Oh, yeah, I did your chart.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you definitely know you're Capricorn. You have Sagittarius on the ascendant.
I do.
You tend to be a much more outspoken Capricorn.
Yeah.
Plus you have your moon in Aries, so, I mean, you're somebody that's like all systems go. You've probably always been that way, a very, very high energy level.
Right.
But you have some very exciting things coming up for you career-wise.
Okay.
I don't want to do anything to get you canned from your job yet now, but on December 14th of this year, if your birth time is correct, I always sound like the devil's advocate with that, but, you know, I have to, because everything is precise. You're going to have your progressed moon sextiling your 10th house. The 10th house is a house of career and status. And I would see you going into something very, very major at that time, career-wise.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's, and then an interesting date here. I'm not going to go into what we talked about, you know, on a personal level when I talked to you this morning. But
that's okay.
January 8th, 2008,
yeah,
so to speak.
Yeah, the 8th, yeah.
You're going to have your progressed Mercury enter your third house. So the third house is communication. I would see something very, very major coming up for you, either with writing, you know, a column, getting a book published. I mean, your progressed Mercury will be going through your third house for quite a few years. But this could be an opportunity for, I would see something major coming up with TV around this time.
The end of this year and beginning of next.
Right, definitely. That time between the moon and Mercury, you know, you are going to be in front of the public in a very big way. But a complimentary way. It's not a stress aspect.
It's not going to be a stressful way. Good.
No,
well, it can't be too soon for me. I've been waiting how many years?
No, but it's, you know, I mean, it could be something here where you start doing things where TV is concerned.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. Start doing
something
when?
It could be something where you start doing something with TV. and
I'd love that.
And then come out with the book.
Yes.
I mean, I would definitely see that with your chart. You are going to be doing a lot of writing once Mercury enters your third house, which is in January, and it's going to be there for, you know, quite a few years, your possessed Mercury.
Oh.
So, you know, it's you are going to be very, very busy in front of the public, at, you know, teaching and instructing.
I'm going to travel, you say? Please tell me I'm going to be traveling.
Well, yeah, I'm not saying that you won't, but it really has more to do with, writing and speaking. I mean, where travel is concerned.
Writing and speaking?
Yeah, writing and speaking.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to see with your chart. I mean, I wouldn't see things in your chart holding you back from traveling.
You don't. Okay. So there's nothing holding me back from traveling. That's great.
No, there really shouldn't be. I mean, you have Neptune in the ninth house, so you know, you would probably tend to feel the happiest being on or near or by water.
Yes, I love being by the water.
Yeah, and you can have some very romantic trips too.
I am?
Yeah, you get some very romantic experiences through travel.
Oh, that would be lovely, too.
You have a grand shrine with your ninth to your second to your sixth. So you should be traveling and doing lectures and talking in front of people.
Oh, that would be absolutely wonderful. That would be a dream come true for me.
Well,
I love doing that.
Neptune rules dreams. So Neptune rules dreams, so it really is a dream. But the dream will come into reality. I mean, it's what you're born with. It's not even, you know, something that's moving, you know, that sets something off. I mean, with your chart, I mean, you would get a great deal, you know, from traveling. The ninth is international, too. It'd probably be from publishing or writing something that would bring in a lot of the opportunities for you with travel.
That would be fabulous. I've been told I was going to write ever since I was in high school, and I've never really gotten around to except writing contracts. Now, does that count? I'm really good at writing up contracts and winning contract bids. That's a form of writing, but that's not the kind of writing I had in mind.
Well, no, with your chart, though, I mean, the ninth house, besides ruling long-distance travel, does have to do with legal matters.
Uh-huh.
So that's part of your, what they call, grand trine, which is an extremely fortunate aspect to have in the chart. So, you know, you've been using the dharma that way.
Uh-huh.
You know, with the contract, instead of concentrating on the travel.
Uh-huh.
So it's still been beneficial for you.
Oh, yes, it was.
Yeah, but that's what I was saying before about the chart. You can have things, but it's how you activate what's there.
Right.
So you activated it in that sense that a lot of people wouldn't have thought of doing.
Right.
And it's probably good for you financially, too, right? Because
right. Well, yeah, I won contracts when I wrote basic. Basically, if I wrote a contract, I usually won it until it came to the time where I had to change direction, and as I said, the good Lord took a 2x4 and whacked me on my head, and God finally got it. But thank you. That sounds absolutely exciting, and I'm just tickled pink because I have wanted to do a lot more than I am doing right now. And TV and radio and lecturing and writing and educating, this is, to me, like breathing. It's so easy. It's something I don't have to put much thought into. Does that make sense?
No, it does with your chart, because when you have a grand trine like you have, it's just something that's second nature for you.
Right.
I firmly believe that the chart you have, that anybody has, you know, your higher self picked that before you incarnate it.
Right.
And I feel that, you know, there's some things that you had to do in order to get it. In other words, you had to do something really good in a past life because it's dharma. And that's what a grand trine is, and that's what you have. You know, in other words, you couldn't say before you incarnated, oh, I want this grand trine,
right,
unless you earned it in a past life. But you have that, so.
Ah.
So it would be second nature because it is. They are things that you've done before in different capacities in different ways in a past life.
Uh-huh.
But okay. You did it in the right way, so you'll be blessed for it in this life by having opportunities come in for you.
Well, that's great, too. My suspicion is, what I have learned about myself is that I keep having the feeling that the best part of my life this time around is coming up now. That the first part was a lot of cleaning house and all that sort of stuff and preparing for the second. It's like this is almost like my third or fourth lifetime in this life, if I could put it that way.
Well, you know, you have your sun in Capricorn, and Capricorns, you know, are always, you know, they always say they're, you know, when their children are like, kids with old heads on their shoulders.
That's what I was described as.
Yeah,
I was like a little old lady.
Yeah, yeah, but because Capricorns always have to take on responsibilities for other people. Capricorn is the sign of the father, and the father traditionally is the disciplinarian.
Uh-huh.
The one that pays the bills. I'm
right.
Not trying to get anybody going now because of women's lib, but this is like the traditional way, you know, they've viewed it.
Right.
But with Saturn, because Capricorn is Saturn ruled, usually Capricornian people, the older they get, the younger they start to look. They actually start to do a reverse aging process.
Actually, yeah. because that's odd, because that's exactly what's true about me. I don't look my age. I look, so people tell me, a good 15 years younger than I am.
Yeah, that's because the other 11 signs, they didn't pay their dues. Capricorns always paid their dues. They've always been serious. So they get to a certain age, and they feel, well, I've accomplished this, this, and that. Now I can enjoy myself and have fun. So they do. And the other people who haven't been keeping their nose to the grindstone, you know, they start to do this catch-up thing. You know, because they're upset because they haven't done what they, you know, what they should have.
Mm-hmm.
So they're busy working, and Capricorns are enjoying themselves.
Ah. Well, I'm ready to take a really large fun vacation for the rest of my life and enjoy what I'm doing, because it's like I've taken a deep breath and now I can be who I really am.
Yeah. Well, Jupiter is a planet of good luck and benevolence, and it's in Sagittarius now, but, you know, throughout most of next year, it'll be in your sun sign, Capricorn.
Wow.
So that should bring the best luck you've had in close to 12 years.
Yes, I'm going to have to say yes, because I had some pretty sticky luck, you know. And part of it being that I lost my mother. And then, you know, the work that I had been doing for years all of a sudden wasn't there anymore. So it was a tremendous, tremendous shift for me. And it was interesting. It was a true growth opportunity that I wouldn't wish on anybody.
Well, you had Pluto by transit form a square to your progressed sun. So Pluto, I always call the rotor-rooter planet. Where you have a Saturn aspect, Saturn forces you to clean up the closets of your life. Pluto forces you to clean up everything, you know.
Yes.
Things that you didn't even know existed, it dredges it up. But I'm not trying to make the planet sound ominous. After you go through Pluto, you'll look back and say, my God, maybe it wasn't fun, but, you know, that's the most necessary thing for me to go through.
Well, I've already said that.
And forward in big ways.
I already said that, because if I hadn't gone through the experiences that I have and the growth that I have, I may not be prepared for what's to come.
Right, definitely.
So, yes. So we're saying the same thing. It's that interesting that you would come up with all of that from the reading. And astrology. And the interesting thing is, when I was born, apparently, and the only one who noted it was my aunt, who was at the hospital with my mother at the time, they put down the wrong time of birth for me. I was born earlier than they actually put down on the
birth certificate.
Yes. Isn't that interesting? And my aunt noted it. Because of the error that was. And so she told my mother, and they put me down as having been born at 7-something, and when I was really born at 6-something.
Well, That's why, as I said before, I always act as a devil advocate with people's birth time.
Right.
Because unless you've gone to an astrologer and watched the chart for a year, you know, the date should be precise if the birth time is correct. I mean, I was in a conference maybe about 20 years ago in Atlanta, and I was talking to this one, you know, it was an astrology conference, and this one man, you know, astrologer there told me his wife just had a baby a couple months before, and he said he was in the, it was in there with a stopwatch on to get the right second. He said he looks up, and he said the clock is off, and, you know, in the room.
Uh-huh.
So you don't, you know, you don't know, you know, sometimes with the time.
Right.
You know, it's supposed to be when you take your first breath, because that's your first independent action.
Uh-huh.
But then you don't know. I mean, people, I would say the past 20 years have become more aware, not
mm-hmm.
just astrologically, but with all the lawsuits that have been going on.
Wow.
You know, they're really being forced now to keep better records. You know, for birth time than they did previously.
Huh.
Because sometimes, you know, they wouldn't even bother changing the clock in the room, you know, daylight savings time or whatever.
Right, but I was born during the war years, so that was daylight savings time.
Yeah, you know, definitely.
Yeah, so, but even so, it was about an hour off, and maybe that was the reason, I don't know. She didn't say why, she just told Mom later that the birth time on the certificate was incorrect, and she told Mom what it was at the time. But anyway, you know, you seem to still have a lot of fun doing this work, having done it most of your life. How do you keep it fresh for yourself? Many people tend to, you know, burn out, get tired, whatever. How do you do this for yourself?
Oh, because I've always been passionate about it, Phyllis. And, I mean, when you're dealing with people, there's, people are like snowflakes, no two are alike.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's, and then you develop relationships with your clients. I mean, I have some clients I've been reading for 25 years. You know,
wow.
You know, whatever. And I've been reading for them, for their children, you know.
Uh-huh.
You know, you know, it's a responsibility, but I really love, you know, what I do.
That is, I think, one of the most important factors in anything that we do in life, is that we love what we do.
And there's always something new to learn. I mean, I could... Nobody is ever a total expert.
Right.
You know, if it was like that I knew that this was like all there was to it, then yeah, it probably would have bored me a long time ago, maybe. I don't know. But
uh-huh.
there's always something there new to learn and to experience.
Well, I think also you, it may be in your sign, but my feeling is you allow yourself to be creative and you renew that wonder within you, so that you are learning, because so many people, they get to a certain point and then you see what I call ennui setting in. You know, they feel they've gained fame and fortune and they've gone so far, and they really don't want to put the effort in anymore. They just sort of want to sit on their little round tushies.
Well, then they have to stop doing what they're doing, especially if it's counseling people, because they're just going to be doing a disservice.
Yeah. That's yeah, I've seen it in a lot of people who are in the what they call service industry, and I don't mean food service, okay?
Yeah.
But in the healthcare industry, they have a tendency to burn out, a lot of them. But I've also seen it in people who are psychics. They insulate themselves. They become. Let me stop there and say we have somebody else on the line. Who's calling? Hello? Oh, my goodness. It may be that we are coming to the end of our time. Is it really that close to goodbye?
Yeah, I'm looking at the clock now. So.
Oh, my God. Well, I guess that was a goodbye time. And anyway, please give them your name and your contact number and your website. And, oh, it's been such a joy. I have never had an hour go quite as fast as it did today.
Oh, thank you. You want me to... my name is Judith Ryan. My phone number is 201-858-1689. And my website is www.astrologybybyjudithryan.com.
Oh, that's wonderful. Again, I am Phyllis Pricer, your hostess for BBS Radio's The Higher Dimension. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you will come again. Judith, I'd love you to come on again if you would.
Oh, I'd love to be there.
And we'll talk another time. I'll give you a buzz. And I thank you all. Next week we have Marguerite Manning.